welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
There's just two scriptures that I just want to share briefly with you, and then we'll get back to prayer. Because I believe that God will want us to respond. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And then we'll go to something in Daniel chapter 4. Actually, 2 Kings. Yeah, 2 Kings, sorry. It's quite an interesting story. But let's get there. And then after Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now, Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says: you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So Elijah went. When the messenger returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you come back?' 'A man came to meet us,' they replied, 'and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says: it is because there is no God of Israel in Israel that you are sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' The king asked them, 'What kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this?' They replied, 'He was a man with a garment of fur and with a leather belt around his waist.' The king said, 'That was Elijah the Tishbite.' Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'Man of God, the king says, come down.' Elijah answered the captain, 'If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent to Elijah another officer captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, this is what the king says: come down at once.' 'If I am a man of God,' Elijah replied, 'may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. 'Man of God,' he begged, 'please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all the men. But now have respect for my life.' The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king." And then the story continued. Can you go to Daniel? These are very nice stories, aren't they? I couldn't stop laughing because Pastor Jonathan was talking about toast. Daniel chapter 4. Hopefully I've got this one right. Actually, it's chapter 4. Okay, Daniel chapter 4. Again, this is to do with Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28. And again, I'll just read the whole story to you. "All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, 'Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?' The words were still on my lips when a voice came from heaven, 'This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or to say, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor was returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now, you're wondering, how am I going to link those two stories together? I don't know. No. Elijah, for me, one of the things that God was really speaking to me about, and, you know, I was just praying about things this morning, and, you know, one of the things that God just sort of talked to me about was that actually it's about humility. That when you humble yourself before God, things happen. The two captains first came to Elijah, and they came with authority from the king. But they also, in the sense of that they had the authority to say, "Come," but God's authority is greater than man's authority. But within that context, there was one captain who came on bended knee and said, you know, humbling himself before Elijah and before God. And God then saved his life and that of 50 people because of one person's humility. He had the authority like the other two captains. He could have done exactly the same as the other two captains. And I believe that Elijah would have said, "Okay, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down and consume you." And obviously he was a man of God, and that would have happened. But because of humility, and he humbled himself before God and before Elijah the man, God saved not only his life, but other people's lives too. When you go to Nebuchadnezzar put up a statue of himself. And Daniel warned him in a dream, God gave him a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream, and it all came to pass. And Nebuchadnezzar, because he was exalting himself above everything else and above God himself, what then took place was that exactly the dream about going out, going into the drew, her, claws, etc., all took place until Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself. And then immediately his sanity was restored, and everything else was then restored to him, the kingdom, his wealth. But ultimately what you hear from Nebuchadnezzar was that there was an honoring of God in the whole of the kingdom. See, there was an alignment that came into place in both of these situations with the plan and purposes of God. See, I believe at Faith Camp this year that word alignment is going to be very, very key. But I also believe that because of what God is saying about that aligning with his plan and purpose, then it's going to actually require us to have that humility before him, that we will come on bended knee, and we will again come under his authority. Because I believe God wants to establish his kingdom rule and reign again in a way that we've not seen for a long, long time, not just in Kingdom Faith, but in this whole nation. I praise God for what is taking place in this nation at this moment in time. I really do. There's some exciting things that are taking place. There's people getting healed left, right, and center in Wales at the moment. People getting saved. And it's fantastic to hear what God is doing. But I'm longing for not just people getting healed and one or two getting saved. I'm looking for the 100,000 to get saved, like in the Welsh Revival in 1904. I'm looking for the thousands upon thousands of people coming into God's kingdom, because his church, his body is arising, being awakened to the very reality of who he is and what his kingdom represents here on earth. But you see, unless we understand that humility and that understanding of that coming submissively before him in reverence, in fear. But you see, that's not, for me, a negative. It's a very positive thing. That when you're coming before him, it's like, Lord, I'm giving my life over to you. I was hoping a young man was going to be here this morning because he has an amazing story. And this person was put in prison in January. And in that scenario, he was actually beaten. People were killed right in front of him, and the bodies were left in the room for 11 hours. Six other pastors were killed because they were wanting him to renounce his Christian faith. But within all of that, he was crying out and humbling himself before God. He got to a place where he was saying, God, take me. My life is nothing, because actually to die is gain. And yet in that situation, God, because of his humility, came and met him in an incredible way that actually took him above all the pain. And he was in pain, severe pain. But it took him above the pain. It took him above the situation where he was able to say to people who were putting metal bars across his head, I forgive you. That you can take me, you can take my life, because it's nothing. You can take everything that I have from a possession point of view. But ultimately, you can't take Christianity from this country, because God is going to have his way. He's going to establish his kingdom, rule and reign. And no matter what you do, no matter what this government does, God will have his say in this nation. And you see, I see that is quite a parallel with the Nebuchadnezzar, that there is somebody who is wanting to raise themselves up above God's kingdom rule. And because they were wanting to, you know, go over God's kingdom, rule and reign, then suddenly God had to come and step in. And until humility and humbling before God and man, then God was then able, once that humility took place, God was able to bring restoration. See, I believe that Faith Camp, God is going to bring a humbling into our midst. I believe in every group there will be a humility, a humbling before God. And that's going to take, I believe, many forms. But ultimately, what we're talking about is an alignment with the purpose and the plan of God and his kingdom purpose. I believe that there are people who are going to be coming to camp who have their own agenda. And God's sort of saying, no, you know, I want you to come back into the place that I have for you. The plan I have for your life. But you see, it comes through humility and recognizing that actually possibly that we've put something else above the plan and purpose of God. I haven't told too many of you about Kyrgyzstan and some of the people that we met in Kyrgyzstan. I met a young man my age, and he was living in his family home in this particular village that we went to. And he was telling us the story that his father was basically a Muslim. He was the chief of the village, and he became a Christian. And because he was a person who was very, very outspoken, his conversion was very, very powerful. Very powerful. And so therefore, instead of talking about the Muslim religion and propagating that across the whole village, telling people to keep in alignment with their faith, he began to really talk very, very boldly about the Christian faith that he had and that God gave to him because of humility. He humbled himself, God turned up, and things began to happen in his life. Many people began to hear, and many people responded, but there is obviously, when anything good, there is a stirring of evil. And there was a lot of aggression towards this gentleman, and at some point, a person who had had too much to drink actually went in with a machete and killed him. And I was literally standing in the room where he was murdered for his Christian faith. And his son was living at a particular different village at the time. And over a period of 2-3 years, he just really felt God saying, no, you need to go back to your family home so that there is still a Christian witness in that place. Now, they wouldn't allow him to be buried in the village. There was a whole, it got onto national television because they wouldn't allow the father to be buried in the church, the village's churchyard, even though the law in that country says that you can be buried wherever you were born. But they were saying, we do not want a Christian in our graveyard. And if you bury him, then we will just dig him up and throw him out in your garden. That's where we were coming from. And so, therefore, they agreed, and we went actually to see the grave in the mountains. And we had to do a walk because they were allowed to bury him on the mountaintop. And it's amazing because of the view across the village. It was an incredible thing, and we prayed up there, not for the guy to be raised from the dead, but no, we prayed for the village. But the son, for me, again, he heard God say, I want my kingdom presence in that place. And so he and his wife came and lived in the father's home and began to be the witness again in that village. Now, please, villages over there, it's all made up of family. You know, they're in, you know, married cousins and relatives of distant cousins. And so therefore, everybody knows everybody else in those particular situations. And so it was very, very much a going into a family situation where you're the odd one out. Yet God told him to be there, and God's given him favor. It's not suddenly that the whole village is suddenly a Christian village anymore. But he is beginning, because I'll tell you another story in a minute, but you know, ultimately, when you become a Christian, you are ostracized. That means that, you know, they push you away. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to communicate with you. They don't want to do business with you. There was another gentleman that we went to see in a different village, and actually it was very sobering because it was very, very difficult, this situation, for me. Really difficult. Because there was a father there whose son had been hung, again, for his Christian beliefs. And the father had a big farm, but he wasn't able to farm because nobody would allow them to use the equipment. They're very much cooperatives. in those societies. So they share tractors, they share equipment. And this gentleman, whose son had been murdered just a couple of years ago, he wasn't able to farm because nobody could lend him equipment. There was not a situation where he was able to do some potatoes and do a little bit in his, like a garden by his house. But when he was wanting to sell those things, nobody would buy them from him. When he went to try and buy just some small provisions in the village, they won't sell to him. And so he has to go to another village to buy those things. And, you know, God, in those situations, it's for me, it was a real challenge because ultimately it's like, God, what do you say in that situation? And all I could say is, you know, about Jesus, all I could go was back to the cross. That's all I could do. I couldn't say, oh, God's going to come and God's going to take you out of this situation and he's going to bless you in an amazing way. I couldn't say that. Here's a man who couldn't buy or sell in his own village, where everybody in the village hated him. Everybody in the village wanted him out. And actually, this gentleman at the time wanted to give up. He sort of said, take my life, Lord. It doesn't count for anything here. So take me. What do you say in that situation? All I could say was, Jesus, and bring him back to the point of the cross. That, you know, it's Christ in you. But what do you say in those situations? Again, you just humble yourself before God, because he has an amazing plan for our lives, even though sometimes it's not in the way that we expect. But you see, to die is gain. Paul understood that. And you see in the epistles, you talk, you know, Paul in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the whole list of things that he went through: shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. But he understood the fact that if you humble yourself before God and you live for his kingdom and his kingdom purposes, then actually you gain everything. Absolutely everything. There's another lady who, and I believe this is possibly the judgment of God too, that was a lady who became a Christian and her husband beat her and kicked her out of the family home. And he then very, very quickly, because of that, he actually died in a car crash at age of 40. And she then returned to the family home. And in the family home, she was again abused by her family, other family members. Her husband's side of her family wanted to kick her out of the house. Didn't want her to be, or her two girls, I think they were about 15 and 13, that sort of age. And they didn't want these three ladies in their village at all because they were Christians, or as they are known over there, every Christian is known as a Baptist, because they baptize people and they drink the blood. That's basically what they believe. Muslims believe that we kill babies and then we drink the blood. It's incredible, but that's a story that's been going out throughout the generations. And actually, I heard something last week from a Muslim guy in the Middle East who was saying exactly the same thing about some of the Jewish festivals. It's incredible that it's the same story that's been going on for centuries. But it's actually propagated very, very much by the Muslims in Kyrgyzstan. But anyway, so we're all Baptists, by the way, just so you know. If you're in Kyrgyzstan, and you're a believer, born-again believer, then you'd be known as Baptists by the Muslims. But this lady, they were in the house. They were destroying the house around her because they didn't want her to live there. And then there was an audible voice that every single person in that house heard. And it was the younger daughter's name, and it was the voice said, whatever her name was, this is your house, you are to stay here. every single person in that room, Muslim and the three Christians, all heard the audible voice. Now, the Muslims very, very quickly dispersed. And they have remained in a situation. Now, their house is not perfect. They have holes in their roof. But yet they know that that's where God's planted them and they're not going anywhere. And actually, the Muslims are a little bit, okay, we don't like this, but we cannot deny that we heard a voice. You see, I believe that, you know, in situations like this, I believe God is going to bring a humility, a humbling in many, many different situations and circumstances. And I believe that for Faith Camp, but I believe that that is happening already around the world where people are coming with dreams and visions and God is bringing a humbling in the people's lives and therefore turning people around so that they do go into the kingdom of God. Just like that captain of 50, he realized that there was something of a greater authority and something that he possibly didn't understand completely, but he knew that to survive required humility and humbling before something which was far greater than he was. Nebuchadnezzar, even though he was the king, everybody bowed down to him, yet God brought him down to nothing, to something that everybody would say he was insane. Yet as soon as he turned his eyes towards God, it says immediately his sanity was restored. And I honestly believe that there is going to be different situations and around Faith Camp this year. And I believe that it is going to be something that God is going to speak into the heart of our nation and the nations, that there is going to be a restoring of the kingdom of God, because ultimately that's what Jesus told us to go and preach. They told us to go and preach the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's about Jesus. Who Jesus is. I've said this to some people, that my greatest need today is Jesus. My greatest need today is to meet with Jesus. Because in Jesus, there is absolutely everything that I ever will need for my life today, tomorrow, and every single day of my life. So today, my greatest need is to encounter him. Because if I need wisdom, then who is the wisdom? It's Jesus. So I need to encounter Jesus. If it's provision, then who's the provider? It's Jesus. So what do I need to do? I need to go and meet Jesus. If I have a fear in any situation, or then according to my Bible, it says perfect love casts out all fear. So who is love? God is love. So what do I need? What is my greatest need? My greatest need is to meet with Jesus, who is going to be able to enable me to love, and so therefore will drive out all the fear. Because when I'm close to Jesus, then I'm not going to fear, am I? Because you see, God wants us to come to that place where actually we know our place. That actually we begin to again understand that all of us know so well. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ. You see, you know, my friend, our friend, and actually he's here for a couple of days with us. He got to that point where he knew it's Christ. They can take my physical body, and they tried, but they can't take what's inside of me. They can never, ever take that eternal perspective of Christ in me. You can do all, whatever you want to do to this physical form, but you can't take Christ out of it. But you see, that requires us to continue to remain humbly before God, so that our lives constantly are aligned with his plan and purpose. Every day, aligning with what he says and what he does. Okay, Lord, is my life today aligned with your plan and purpose? Is my thinking aligned with your plan and purpose? Father, am I trying to raise myself up or my motives or my ideas, my ambitions, or am I aligning my whole life up with yours? Because you see, if we are going to see a revival for a generation, then it's got to be on God's terms, not ours. See, I don't believe it's necessarily just going to be based around a series of meetings. I believe that it's a lifestyle that, you know, that it's like when John Wesley just was going around on a little horse. Things happened around him. You know, it wasn't that suddenly he went into a buildings, because actually at that time they wouldn't allow him in the buildings. But he just turned up and he was about to, you know, have a nice little cup of water. And things happened. People came, people threw some tomatoes at him, but then they still wanted to hear his message. And people got completely and radically saved. Why? Because they humbled themselves before the word of God. And we've got to remember, the word of God is a person. And when we humble ourselves before the word, God will then do whatever he chooses with each one of our lives. But you see, it really does have to come through that humility. And those two stories, I know they're a little bit out of the box stories. Certainly the Elijah story regarding, you know, fire coming down from heaven and consuming and destroying. You see, I don't believe God wants to destroy. I believe God's come to give life. But understanding that the gospel is a gospel where there is real judgment that will come at the end of time. And there is times where God will bring judgment, and I do believe he does bring judgment. But I don't believe that is judgment without having God's hand of mercy or God's grace or God speaking to those individuals again and again and again, giving them chance after chance after chance. See, Nebuchadnezzar, his end is not good. Because again, even though he had an encounter with God, he still went away from the purposes of God towards the end of his life. And again, in the Babylonian kingdom, you know, it was passed on. And again, God had to bring judgment upon the next king, where he wrote on the wall. All sorts of things that began to happen. But you see, God needs to bring people to a humility so that he can then take, in a sense, over our cooperation, so that his kingdom begins to be extended in the ways that he desires and what he wants. So again, for me, it's not about the fire of God is going to come and consume us. Now, please, you've got to understand that that's scripture too. But what he does want is he wants to destroy anything that is not part of his best purpose for your life. And you see, my greatest need is Jesus, and Jesus is the one that I'm looking for, I'm looking at. If I need, you know, wisdom, if I need some understanding, then who's the one that I need understanding? It's Jesus. So I need to go to him for understanding. I need to go to him for wisdom. I need to go to him for healing. I need to go to him for provision. I need to go to him who is gentle and humble in heart. I need to go to him who is humble. I will need to go to him who is the righteous one. You understand that my greatest need is always going to be Jesus. That's always going to be my answer. But you see, I believe that God has challenged me, saying that you know that that's the answer, but do you always live that? And so God's constantly, and obviously for me, this is, you know, in my time with the Lord, these things are coming up. So God's trying to speak to me about these things. So God's trying to talk to me, saying, son, I want your life to be aligned with my plan and my purpose, because I want to establish my kingdom, rule, and reign in your life, so that my glory is demonstrated in absolutely every way, in every situation, every circumstance, that God is glorified in what he does in this body. But this body is his. So if he decides to take me today, then actually I get promoted. Because we're talking about something eternal, not something that is just for the now. You understand? God's got a totally different understanding than we have. And that's why we've got to come into the alignment with his plan and what he's desiring, what he's longing for. But you see, it doesn't come without the humility. Everybody knows 2 Chronicles 14. If a man humbles himself and prays. People can quote that to you. But you see, I believe God is wanting us not just to be able to quote a word of scripture, but actually do that. Where each one of us comes humbly before God. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're suddenly all on bended knee and all on the carpet. Now, maybe God does do that from time to time. But sometimes it's just, just literally bowing before him. I've done that in worship before now, literally just bent over because I'm just bowing before him. Because that's what I would do if the queen walked in. You bow, don't you? So sometimes you don't have to go on bended knee, but sometimes you just bow in reverence before the queen. But we've got the King of Kings. But then sometimes when you're in the presence of the queen, you're standing up straight. Why? Because God wants you to stand tall. Sometimes he says, lift up your head, O you gates, so that the King of Glory may come in. So it's not just, we're on bended knee. Sometimes we lift up our heads. We're rejoicing because we're welcoming in the King of Glory. But that can again be with humility. Because you're recognizing who you're inviting into your world. And you see, in Faith Camp this year, I believe that that's what's going to happen. God is going to come and invade people's space. I think we're very, very good at putting a little bit of a barrier, a bit of barbed wire around us, saying you can come so close, but not too close. And when people get too close, we get a little bit prickly. And as you can see, I've got too close to some prickly bushes of late. But you see, what God's saying is that actually, because it's not about your life, it's about my kingdom, then it actually doesn't matter what and how close you get, because what I want is for my life to rub off on other people's lives. I want what my kingdom is inside of you to come out in different ways in other people. And that's why the body of Christ, we're all very, very different. But the expression of Christ in you comes out, will come out in a different way than it will come out in me. But together we're the body of Christ. And together we will be actually representing who he is on earth. And that's why I believe that God is wanting to do something so significant at camp this year. Because I really do believe that he wants to again establish his kingdom, rule and reign. Not just in the church, but in me and the church who I'm part of. But you see, that won't happen until we humble ourselves, like a Nebuchadnezzar, like the captain who came before because he saw the power of God. He came humbly. And there are many other stories where people came humbly before God, and God was able to bring restoration into situations. He was able to turn situations around. There were certain kings who were about to die, but because they humbled themselves, God stayed his hand. Nineveh, Jonah, You know, Jonah went to Nineveh, and because the people of Nineveh started putting sackcloth on ashes, they humbled themselves. They saw what they were doing was wrong, and they put it right. They humbled themselves, and God didn't destroy Nineveh. He took his hand away from there, and in a sense, Jonah got frustrated, saying, I knew this was going to happen anyway. And so he was having a little miserable time under a little bush. And then God destroyed the bush and said, oh. See, God's ways are so totally different from our understanding of things. And I just believe God just wants to, it's all about the alignment thing, but, you know, God wants to shake us up a bit. You know, so that we rattle. Because I really believe God wants to stir the church. And please, I'm talking about the camp as well here, Faith Camp, because I believe there's a stirring in the spirit. And please, you hear different things around in different churches, in Hull and in Wales. And there's other churches dotted around the place that are getting quite excited because actually they're coming back to the basic message of the gospel. They really are. They're just getting back to the basic gospel and sort of saying, okay, what have you said? All you talked about, Jesus, was your kingdom. So much about your kingdom. Okay, what does that look like? What does that mean? And then coming understanding, actually, that requires me to come into alignment with what you're saying about your kingdom purposes. And therefore, actually, I got to humble myself before that, before you as the king. Before you as my savior, before you are my God, before you as my creator, before you as my judge. Because all of these are names of God. Because I don't want to fall under judgment, but I don't have to. In that sense, we're all going to be judged, it says in scripture. But ultimately, if I have the blood of Jesus Christ, then God will just say, come on in. Because I see the blood. I believe God's going to speak to individuals in very, very powerful ways at camp this year. I do believe he'll speak to everybody. But I believe that God is going to speak to some individuals that are going to have amazing things that God will do through them. Why? Because they will align their lives up completely with his plan and his purpose. I mean, was it John Wesley who said, give me 10 men and we can change England? Doesn't take too many. But people who are completely in alignment with his plan and his purpose, it's amazing what can happen as a result of that. Why? Because you count yourself as nothing and you just live for him. So you don't live for your priorities, but you live for his. And please, I'm talking to myself here. This is my time with the Lord that I'm just sharing with you. This is my walk with God, and I'm just opening myself up to how God speaks to me. And these are scriptures. I read Daniel 2 weeks ago. And God started to speak to me about that. But I only actually read the 2 Kings passage this morning. But you see, God's not letting me get away from this. He's brought it back about humility. That's how I've read it. I mean, you probably can get all sorts of different stories out of it yourselves. But I'm just picking up what God's spoken to me. He spoke to me about Nebuchadnezzar, humility, bringing restoration immediately I turned to God. And you see, that's what I believe is going to happen at Faith Camp too. That as soon as people turn back to God, he is going to bring a restoration into different situations and circumstances. First, alignment with the plan of God. But I believe then bodies are going to come into alignment with his best purpose. I do. I believe that things, livers are going to be restored. I believe that hearts are just going to be like brand new again. Why? Because people have come into alignment with his best plan and purpose they've brought themselves under the humility of God, humbled themselves before God. God is able to align them then into his best purpose and his plan. And then God is able to then bring a restoration, just like Nebuchadnezzar, immediately. I believe that there are people who have had serious depression. I believe God is just going to bring some normality right back into their situations immediately. I believe there's going to be young people who are going to be at camp who've been cutting themselves. And please, this is not me cutting myself in that way. But I believe that people have been cutting themselves. I believe people have been destroying their bodies because self-harm, all that stuff. I believe when they come into alignment with God's plan, the kingdom plan that he has, I believe that immediately they will come into a restoration in their body. And things that possibly have been damaged because of result of the negative, I believe God is just going to turn around completely to the positive. But you see, God's plans are bigger than ours. And you see, even my wildest things, I think that are so minuscule compared to what God actually wants. And what God's saying, I believe, to all of us is that, Lord, children, come into alignment with my plan for what I want to do in Faith Camp. What I want to do in your life, not just in that one week, but for the rest of your life. Because you're seeing yourself just so minuscule and the purpose of God so minuscule, yet I'm such a big God. And I have big plans. Great plans, but I need you to come and remain in that place of humility so that you continue to be aligned with what I'm saying and what I'm doing. That's why that's why we can't get off the bus too early. Andy Elms on the Sunday, he was saying, don't get off the bus. Because sometimes it's tempting, isn't it? Sometimes it's very tempting to get off the bus early. Because it's a little bit difficult. But you see, for me, I was really humbled by meeting men and women who have truly been persecuted for their faith. Truly humbled by it. Because it's like, what's my life? Why do I get so upset by just something so small? When God is so big and he has great plans. And you see, that's, I believe, the heart that God wants for every single person who comes to camp, every church that we are part of, wherever God sends us to, that God wants to give us a fresh understanding of who he is and how great he is. We sing, "How great is our God." How great is our God? Can we sing that, please? Have we got the words? How great is our God? Because I was only going to speak for 10 minutes or 15. It's the Kingdom Faith. But, for me, it is how great is our God. And for me, it's understanding that and therefore bringing our lives through. I'm not saying it has to be on bended knee, but it is through humility. Recognizing actually your position before the king. And because you're understanding and recognizing your position, then actually God then can bring and raise you up into whatever plan and purpose that he has for our lives and the 3,000-4,000 lives at Faith Camp. And all of those other lives that they then touch as a result of God touching them. So we're talking about tens of thousands of people that are going to be affected by what God does at Faith Camp. And the alignment that he does in all of our lives today, as we, as the team, go into that Faith Camp, I believe will make a massive difference in what he is able and what he's going to do. I mean, he's God. So if he can talk through a donkey, he certainly can talk through me. You understand? But it's, again, humility. Let's stand, please. Just believe that each one of you just needs to talk to the Lord, whatever. You need to do. Just talk to him. Just use your own words, your own language, as long as it's English. But no, please, just use your own language. Just to talk to God. And just actually be honest with him. Be open and honest with your King, with your Lord, with your Savior. And if you know that you have to come and you need to address something in your life that you know that is not quite in alignment with his plan, if you know that you've not focused in that right way, you know that your life in one area is not aligned with his best purpose, then just, Lord, just be honest with him. And just say, God, you need to just enable me to make those adjustments, because I truly want to bring myself under your authority, your rule, your reign, so that you can establish your kingdom in a far greater way than ever before. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus, you are great. How great are you, Lord? How great you are. How great you are, Father. Lord, I understand my greatest need is you. Jesus, you are always going to be the answer to everything in my life. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, understanding, Father, Lord, it's coming into alignment with your plan and your purpose so that your kingdom rules and reigns in my heart and my life, that it's demonstrated in every single way. Thank you, Father. How great you are.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.